It's been a stressful year and a half. Now there was plenty of stress before that, but there's plenty of stress right now for sure. We're dealing with stuff that we never dealt with, and anxiety worldwide is at in our lifetime is kind of at an all time high. We are dealing with. I wish there was a meter that could show where our anxiety and stress level was in the United States 2 years ago versus where it is now. I would assume it has gone up tremendously. I feel like, and I think we all have this same sense, that there's just always something happening. Everything from when we found out COVID was an issue to sheltering in place and social distancing, we didn't even know what those things meant before last year. We were just going along doing our thing. And there's been some repercussions from the things that have happened over the last year and a half that have affected us. And one of those is that anxiety is kind of at an all-time high in our lifetime. We are dealing with things that we never thought we were going to have to deal with. There's a funny story I read about a guy who was going to the counselor. He was trying to overcome this constant fear and worry that he had that somebody was living under his bed. And he kept going back to the counselor over and over and over again. And he was paying every week to try to figure out how to deal with this fear of somebody living under his bed. And finally, he just quit going to the counselor. And the counselor happened to see him around town one day. And the counselor said, "Hey, what happened? Where did you go?" And he said, "Well, I just decided it was costing too much to come see you. So I just cut the legs off my bed." There's some practical answers to some fears and worries we have. We worry about stuff all the time. We think about the future all the time. One of the ways we think about the future and approach the future is by planning. Some of us are planners. Some of us are prayers. We pray a lot. And some of us are constantly preparing. Some of you got 96 cans of green beans in the pantry right now, just in case. You know, you're a preparer. You're thinking ahead. Worry is one form of thinking about the future. Now, planning is a form of thinking about the future. Prayer is a form of thinking about the future. Worry is one way of looking at the future. Now, the problem is when we are thinking about the future through the lens of worry, we're thinking about future events, but it leaves us feeling anxious and apprehensive. We're thinking about what might happen or what might not happen. In 2020, one survey said that 62% of the people who responded to the survey experienced some sort of anxiety. 62%. So in the room this morning and online, 62%, over half the people that are here more than likely are dealing with some level of anxiety. Now, here's the problem when we give into it and we let worry guide us into sort of unfounded fears. We understand that God is in charge, and 85% of the stuff we worry about never happens. 85% of the stuff you're worried about right now is not going to happen. But it's real right now. It's in your, it's there. It's in the forefront of your thinking. And so we have to figure out, what are we going to do about it? And I want to ask you this question. Here's a good way to figure out if worry actually works in your life. Ask yourself this question. What was I worried about a year ago today? What were you worried about then? You might be worried about the same thing. You might remember, but I would just guess that most of us can't even remember the thing we were worried about last year. We were worried about some big things, and we might remember that, but we were also worried about a lot of little things. We worry about finances, and we worry about family. We worry about our children. We worry about too much salt and too much sugar. We worry about unforeseen dangers. We worry about our health problems, which ironically creates more health problems. We live in this cycle of worry that God never intended for us to live in. and we push ourselves further. We don't know how, as a rule, to just take it easy. We're always approaching the future. Many of us, I'll say it this way, many of us approach the future through the lens of fear, which causes us constant worry, constant anxiety. So I want to start with these two sentences. Planning for tomorrow is time well spent. Worrying about tomorrow steals from today. It is great to plan for tomorrow. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his grandchildren. It's important. You don't have to leave $1 million, but it's important to cover your funeral cost, all right? You got to plan for that stuff. That's a different sermon. God teaches us. I got it. I could preach it, but we'll just wait on it. God teaches us to plan for the future, right? He teaches us to save, teaches us to work, all those things, teaches us about the future. Now, planning and preparing for the future is one thing, but worrying about tomorrow steals from today. I might not be alive tomorrow. I'm not planning on going anywhere, but I might not be here tomorrow. So it'd be crazy for me to waste today worrying about a day that I don't know if it will ever come. And we start to live our lives in this cycle that takes away from the blessings that God has for us right now. All the blessings. Now, we could take a minute and we could just start writing down the stuff we're thankful for. I'm grateful for this and grateful for that, for family, for a job, for a house, for a car, for good health. We could just go down that list. Most of our list would look very similar. We value similar things. We value family and health and safety and financial stability. And we're grateful for those things. And yet, we're afraid that tomorrow might not bring the level of safety we feel today or that we want today. And so it takes away from where we are and what's happening right now. It's a ridiculous thing to do. I'm going to give up the joy I could have today for fear that tomorrow I might not have that same joy. It's ridiculous. And yet every one of us on some level has dealt with it. We're dealing with it right now. Or we're going to be dealing with it in the future. This worry thing is a problem. So what are you worried about for tomorrow? What is it that is out there that you're worried about right now? Now I want to give you two songs. These are two very important songs. I want you to remember them forever. Bob Marley said, "Don't worry about a thing." Don't worry about a thing. Now, Bobby McFerrin said, "Don't worry, be happy." Some of us are old enough to remember that one. That was actually the senior song the year I graduated from high school. All right? Don't worry, be happy. Now, that's great advice. Don't worry about a thing. The Bible teaches us that. Don't worry about a thing. Don't worry, be happy, choose some joy. The Bible teaches us to do that. So we know what Bobby thinks and we know what Bob thinks, but what does Jesus think? What does Jesus have for you and me so that we can learn to deal with the stress, anxiety, fear, worry that we're dealing with right now and we can start to take it a little easier? Some of us are waiting for a destination. We think if we can just get to there, life is going to be good. If I can just get to retirement, life is going to be good. Back up further in life. If I could just get to college graduation, if I could just get a house, if I could just get this, then I would finally be able to relax and take it easy. Life would be better. I don't want to burst anybody's bubble this morning. But when you get to any one of those levels, you're still looking for something else. Because the human heart is not content. The human heart always wants more. I want more security, more money, more of everything. We are excessive. And that's why the Bible teaches us to be content where we are. If we're not happy here and now, we will probably not be happy when we get there. You ever bought a new car and you're like, "Oh, now, finally I can relax. I'm going to be so happy." And then the payment book shows up 45 days later, and you're like, "I wish I had my old car back." You know, that smoke and that rattling just gave me such comfort. And there was no payment, and that felt so good. It just doesn't feel like you think it's going to feel. Every level you go up, there's another level ahead of you. And so there's more to be afraid of and more to worry about. Now we know that God is with us right here, right now. We know that. I think we can all accept that fact and we can all proclaim that fact that God is with us. He's promised to never leave us, never forsake us. He's going with us all the way, even to the end. That means at this level, all the way to that level, He's with me. And if I have to stay on this level a little bit longer than I want to, He's going to stay there with me on that level and then get me to the next level. So when I trust Him that He will take me where He wants me to go, I can relax. It's not my striving or my pushing and or my ability that's going to get me there. It's the blessing of God. Now, I'm going to plan, I'm going to prepare, I'm going to work, I'm going to do all the stuff the Bible says to do. But to get there, I'm going to need God. I'm going to need a little boost. You ever see a kid trying to climb up on the couch when they're little, and all it takes is mom or dad just one little boost, and they think they did it on their own. They stand up on the couch and look what I did. That's what we do. Some of us are always standing on the couch saying, look what I did, not remembering that it was God that gave the boost, it was God that helped us get there. So God's going to take us on this journey, and we've got to follow Him. Now, how do we handle that when we're feeling that worry and that fear about the future? This is what Jesus said. I'm just going to read this to you. You can open your Bibles if you want to. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. This is Jesus talking. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and He'll give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Anybody agree? Today's trouble is enough for today. All right, I don't have to bring tomorrow's trouble into today. I got enough to deal with today. No sense in piling it on, right? Now Jesus has given us some very specific things to do here, and things I think we need to learn, all of us. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This message is for me, and you just get to be here today, all right? I'm just going to preach this to me, and you get to tag along. Number one is this: worry won't change a thing. Oh, man. Worry won't change anything. Look at verse 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Can all your worries add it can take a moment away from your life. You can worry yourself right into a heart attack and die early. But it can't add any moments to our life. Worrying won't get us there. Worrying is like a rocking chair. There's a lot going on, but you're not going anywhere. Some of us are just worrying and we're still in the same spot. You're going to be in the same spot whether you worry or not. So why not let the worry go and trust God while you're there? If I'm just rocking back and forth, there's a lot of effort and a lot of motion, no movement. So God is asking us to trust Him. Now, if this won't move my life along to worry about it, it's really a waste of energy and time and joy and peace to invest in worry. What if? What if? And that's the question we often ask. What if this happens? What if that happens? And we're asking questions that have no answers. We don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. There's no way to prepare for some things, even if they do. And why would we prepare for them ahead of time? What if I die next year? What if I lose my health? What if you do? There's nothing we can do about it today. So why would we waste the next year of our lives thinking about what might happen in the future? So God knows where we are. God knows it. And worrying about it's not going to change anything. Here's number two. God promises to take care of us. It's so simple, isn't it? God promises that he's going to take care of us. Look at verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will you eat? What will we eat or drink or wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. The things, he's listing worries that are here on earth. And he says, look, this kind of stuff worries people who don't know God. But if I know God, I get to trust God. Why would I even follow God if I can't trust him? There are people in my life that I would give you my debit card and my credit card and my car keys and my house key, and I'd be like, I'm not worried one bit. There are other people in my life, I wouldn't even share my pocket knife with them, right? You know, it's just, you know who you can trust. So if we're really going to trust God in this process, then we need to believe him. We need to walk as believers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Now, he gives us two things, two examples, illustrations. He said, first of all, there's birds. He said, look at the birds. They don't plant. Look, it's verse 26. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? He said, look, there are little birds are out there. God provides for the little birds. He makes sure they have everything they need to eat so they'll be okay. And if he's going to provide for them, you are more valuable than they are to him, so you can trust him. The second illustration he gives us is wildflowers. He said, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Verse 27. And why worry about your clothing? He said, you're thinking about earthly things, right? Why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. Now let's remember who Solomon was. Solomon was a king, and basically he was asked, what do you want? And he said, I want wisdom. And because he asked for wisdom, he became the richest man on the planet. Watch this. Not just the richest man during his lifetime, the richest person that has ever lived on planet Earth. If we look at what the inflation, and we put that in today's dollars, Solomon had about $2 trillion. Now just to put that in perspective, Jeff Bezos, that owns Amazon, has less than $200 billion. So Solomon could have bought Jeff Bezos 10 times. I mean, Jeff Bezos is on the poor side of town. And Solomon, $2 trillion. Now, when Jesus said, look, God clothes the flowers in the field, and they are more beautiful than anything Solomon can buy. Richest man that ever lived. It's no accident that he picked Solomon to compare it to. And yet some of us are living afraid. And God is the one who takes care of the birds and the wildflowers, and he loves us more than them, so we can trust him, all right? Now, here's number three. Focus matters. Focus matters. Verse 31, so don't worry about these things, saying what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. Live righteously, and God will give you everything you need. I'm going to say that again. Seek the kingdom of God above everything else. The kingdom of God. Live righteously, and God will give us everything that we need. Now, how do we seek the kingdom of God? Well, we pray, we read our Bibles, we go to church. There's a list of things that we could say, well, check, 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 check. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about focus. I'm gonna say it like this. We need to put God in the box. You know, when you pick up your phone and you're taking pictures and you're not very good at it. And the iPhone has made us think that we know how to be good photographers now. And it's doing all the work. All you gotta do is pick it up, and what happens? A little box shows up on the screen. You're like, look at that. And you just, whatever you want to focus on, You just put it in that box, and it'll just focus right in there and take a beautiful picture, and then you look like a genius on Instagram and Facebook. And everybody says, how'd you do that? And you say, filters and all that stuff. In the box is the thing that is most important in that photo. If we will take the time every day of our life to live with God in the box, whatever I'm looking at a problem, God's going to be with me. I need to focus Him in the box. I need to keep Him at the center of this whole thing so that no matter what I'm looking at, no matter what difficulty, no matter what problem, no matter what health issue, no matter how much money I need, if I focus all on Him and that other stuff is around Him, then the Bible says I'm seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all the other stuff that I need will be added to me. God's going to do all of that stuff. We got to trust Him, though. We got to stay focused on Him. I believe that one of Satan's greatest tools is distraction. Satan does not want you focusing on God. I don't think Satan cares if you're sick or well as long as you don't focus on God. He might give you something just to keep you focused on that thing instead of focused on God. Every attack that Satan brings at us is something to move us away from God. And God wants it very clear. You see, the Bible is very simple, not always easy, but very simple. He says, focus on His kingdom, focus on living righteously, and all this other stuff is going to come to us. When we trust God, we're saying, Lord, I'm focused on You. I'm focusing directly on You. I'm not focused on me. I'm not focused on my problems. I'm going to completely trust You. Here's number four. Living one day at a time brings peace. One day at a time. There's an old song that was written before I was born. It says, one day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of You. It's a powerful song. One day at a time, that's all I'm asking. Some of us are asking for answers for 5 and 10 and 20 years down the road. And God's like, I don't do that. That's not how this works. I'm going to be there with you today, and I'm going to be there with you tomorrow. But here's what we got to remember. God honors faith. Some of us want hardcore evidence of that things are going to be okay tomorrow, that things are going to work out the way we want them to. And God honors faith when we trust Him for tomorrow, because God wants our faith to grow. See, if God was just trying to meet our needs and not grow our faith, He would just put $1 million in everybody's bank account today and He'd make everybody healthy, and we'd all be jerks and angry at each other and selfish, and we wouldn't even like each other. God's not interested in our comfort as much as He is our character. He's trying to grow our character. He's trying to build our faith, and we have to grow in that process. Listen, you got to go through some hardship to grow character. You got to go through some hardship to grow faith. Now, when we do that, it honors God, and He blesses us one day at a time, one day at a time. He said, in verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. There's enough trouble for today. Now, watch what He says in John 14. Let me set this up for you. In John 13, Jesus says, I'm about to go away. He was preparing His disciples. I'm on earth now, but one day I'm leaving. And Simon Peter was kind of a blowhard, and he talked a lot, and he had a cussing problem, and he always wanted to tell everybody what to do, including Jesus. And he was worried when Jesus said, I'm leaving. And Peter, even though he's got this tough exterior, Simon Peter was scared. And he starts to push Jesus on this issue a little bit. And Jesus knew that what Simon Peter was saying was coming from a place of fear and worry. And then Jesus says this in the first verse of chapter 14. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in Me. He said, don't let your heart be troubled. And He goes on to say, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. He was saying, I'm going to prepare heaven for you. And then one day you're going to get to come and be with Me. You're going to get to live with Me. But right now, I need you to trust me. Don't let your heart be troubled. I need you to let your faith grow a little bit. I need you to trust me in this process. Now, to me, there's two takeaways from this scripture. The first one is, today is a day of action. I can only do stuff today. I can't do anything about tomorrow. I can plan and I can prepare, but I can't control it. So today is the only day of action. What do I need to do today? And then let it go. Second one is, plan for tomorrow, but don't let tomorrow steal from today. Plan for it, but don't let it steal what God has given us today. Worry, somebody needs to get this one. Worry never robs sorrow from tomorrow. Worry robs joy from today. The sorrow might still be there tomorrow, but I can't fix that. I can't change that. I just have to trust that God is walking with me and God cares about me. Now we're going to put all this to practice right here. What is it in your life right now that you cannot control? That you absolutely cannot control? What is it? What's going on that you would say, if I could, here's what I would do. If I could fix this, I would fix it. If I could change it, I would change it. If I could make it different, I would. But I can't. And so it's stealing my joy. I wake up and I'm okay for a little while and then I remember it. And then I just live the rest of the day with a little bit of pressure. Just a little bit of fear. And I'm really not engaging. Sometimes I find myself looking into just gazing out into nothing. And when there are people around, because I'm thinking about that thing that is always right there that I cannot change. That's the thing that God is trying to talk to us about today. That's the thing that God is trying to change in our hearts today. He's trying to show us and teach us that if we will trust Him, He'll walk with us through every struggle and every difficulty. But we got to engage Him. We got to get Him in the box. Make sure we're focused in on Him and not focused on the problem. If I live focusing on the problem, I will never have any joy. I'll never be able to take it easy. Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you." My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now, let's stay here for just a second. My yoke is easy. It's the picture of an oxen. They're putting a yoke to pull a plow. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy." Remember, He said, I want you to put my kingdom first. I want you to live righteously. I want you to put the yoke on. But my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. If you're feeling heavy, you're not doing it right. His burden is light. So if it feels heavy, you're not doing it right. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to trust Him. I've used this illustration before. I was just having a conversation with a father just the other day about this very thing. When your kids are little, you stand them on the kitchen counter and you step back and they will dive head first. And then at my house, I would stand them on the kitchen counter and back up and go, "All right, we're three tiles away. Let's do it." Whew, head first. And I would catch them. They would say, "Back up, Daddy, back up." "All right, let's do it." Dive off. And then at a certain point, I was a little nervous. I'm like, I don't even trust me this much, all right? And if Mom sees this, we're in real trouble, all right? So let's don't break any arms today, all right? It's a childlike faith that says, I can trust my earthly father, even though he's flawed. He's not perfect. And life sort of takes that out of us. That childlike faith. And I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to do what I can do, and I'm going to trust God for the things I can't do, and I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to back up. I'm going to let Him back up from time to time, and I'm just going to dive into His arms. I'm going to trust Him. Is that where you are today? You're standing on the kitchen counter going, "I don't know, God. I don't know. Can you really catch me?" Kind of insulting, isn't it? "I don't know, God. I don't really trust you that much." Man, what an adventure life would be if we said, "I just trust God. I just trust Him. I'm not going to try to figure everything out because I'm not that smart to begin with. I'm just going to trust Him. If He says, jump, I'm jumping. I'm just going to walk through this life saying, Lord, I trust you. Imagine what that would feel like. Imagine what that life of trust would feel like if we gave it all to God. If we just gave it all to him. And we said, I trust that the steps of a good man or good woman are ordered by the Lord, that God's going to take me on this journey step by step by step by step, and every step of the way he's going with me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He's going with me all the way, even to the end. Would you stand with me? I want us to sing this song this morning. I really just want you to take a minute just to worship, just to say, Lord, I trust you. Sometimes I give stuff to you and I take it back, and I don't want to be that way. I don't want to do that. I really just want to trust that you're going to help me and go with me, and I can walk with you every day. And I want you to help me with that. So in just a worshipful moment, I want us just to release some stuff to God, that it belongs to him before it belongs to us. So let's do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
When darkness tries to roll over my bone, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I know I won't be shaken. I won't be shaken. 'Cause my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I believe right now, I believe God's about to start the deliverance process in somebody's life. I believe God's going to start you down this journey of walking in peace and joy and contentment instead of fear and worry and anxiety. But it's a journey. It's a journey. Now, God may miraculously deliver you, and I hope he does. Or it might be that today you have to remind yourself, I can trust God. And tomorrow you remind yourself, I can trust God. But the Holy Spirit's going to work in our hearts and our lives. Because here's the thing. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and all this stuff that we could never produce in our own life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's why Jesus said, look, I need you to seek the kingdom of God first. Because that's where all these other good things are coming. All the fruits that you want in your life is going to come when you focus in on him instead of focusing in on everything else. And say, Lord, I truly give it all to you. So here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to just pray a prayer to release it. Just to release it. I can't control them. I can't control this. I'm just going to release it. And I'm going to trust that God cares more about it than I care about it myself. Here we go right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you care about us and you love us and you have a plan for us. You want to take us on this journey. Lord, sometimes we get stuck in a spot, in a place, in a season of our life that seems like it's the end. We get stuck there and we think that you're done with us or that you have walked away from us. And Lord, forgive us for feeling that way. But Lord, we want to release all the stuff that keeps us stuck. We want to release the worry about all the different issues in our life that keeps us from just taking it easy and walking with you. We're going to release it to you, Lord. We're going to do what your word says. We're going to cast our cares on you because you care for us. We do it right now, Lord. We just release it, and we're going to try to take it back probably later, but we're going to then give it back to you again, and we're going to give it back to you again until, Lord, we have truly unburdened ourselves of these things that you want to carry for us because we can't do it anyway. We just give it to you. Lord, I pray for the parent in the room right now that is just worried about that child. In the name of Jesus, we pray peace over that parent right now. In the name of Jesus, we speak peace over that family. God, over the family that is struggling financially, Lord, right now, God, we just ask for your blessings on their life, that they would see you at work in their lives like never before, that you would provide for them in a very near and special way, that they would give you glory for all that. Lord, we pray for the person who is struggling with health issues right now. Lord, we know you took all those stripes at Calvary, at the cross, so that we could be healed. We're asking for healing today, Lord. Whether it's something we would consider small or whether it's a giant sickness, God, we give it all to you because the name of Jesus is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every other name has to bow, every knee has to bow. Lord, we put it in your hands today. God, we release it to you and we trust you for what's coming. And Lord, we want to stand on your word, not our ability. God, our ability is sinking sand. We want to trust you and stand on your word. And we receive it today. All that you have for us, we receive it. We receive it. And we thank you, Lord, for what's coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give him some praise, everybody. Amen. 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 I'm going to say this and we're going to go. Satan wants to steal our faith. He wants to distract us from trusting God with our whole hearts. I want to challenge you on this one. Jesus said, put the kingdom of God first, live righteously. I want to challenge you to go all in on your relationship with God. All in. Okay, I'm going to halfway this thing. I'm going to go all the way my whole life. People are going to look at me and go, he's a little weird. That's what you're supposed to be, is a little weird. Yeah. It's true. It's true. The Bible calls us a peculiar people. You're a little bit strange because you're trusting Jesus when everybody else is going, you're crazy, man. You're like, yeah, but I sleep good at night. I don't have to worry now. But there are going to be moments where you got to reacclimate. You got to unload it again. And you got to say, Lord, I'm carrying stuff I shouldn't be carrying. I'm going to trust you in this process. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk with you. And when you do, other people are going to be drawn to Christ because they see something in you that they don't have. The Bible says it's people who don't know God. It's the unbeliever, the person who doesn't know God, that has to worry all the time. But if I know him, I can trust him. So I want to challenge you, go all in this week. Focus on God. Stop focusing on the problems, because the problems will change and new problems will rotate in. There's going to always be a new set of problems. But if I keep my focus in the right place, he's promised to give me everything I need. Lord, as we go, Lord, help us today to just unburden what we need to let go of. Just unburden it. And trust you with it. And Lord, we want to put you first. And there are going to be days this week that we get that we have to struggle to put you first, that we've got to work through. It's going to be a fight, a spiritual fight. Satan wants us distracted. He doesn't want us focused on you. And we pray for your help in that, and we receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here today. Have a great week.